Like a lot of people, 42-year-old David Ballman works Monday through Friday and has to fight commuter traffic. Before he goes out the door, he grabs the house keys. He can't see them, but Ballman knows where they are, along with other items he'll need for the day.
I try to put things in the same place or keep them where I know them, and I guess living alone makes it a little easier because if it's not there, there's only one person to blame. So.
He's out the door by 7:30. Before starting his 10-block walk across Madison's busy downtown isthmus, Ballman describes the all-important device that helps tell him when he's off course, a white carbon fiber cane.
Feel how light it is. The idea is that with being so lightweight that you get better sensitivity with it.
Ballman sweeps the sidewalk with his cane and walks at about the same pace a sighted person would. The white cane first came into widespread use after World Wars I and II, when soldiers came back blind from eye injuries caused by explosives. The Lions Club heavily promoted the use of white canes in the U.S., and in 1930, Peoria, Illinois became the first to pass a law giving blind pedestrians right-of-way. Similar laws soon went on the books in other states, that having right-of-way and getting it are two different things.
I find that the drivers are pretty ruthless. They don't really care if you have a white cane or not. If you don't cross when the light is walk, it can be pretty risky.
Ballman says he's had several near misses where cars hit his cane. Those calls and bad weather haven't stopped him from walking to work. He could take a special transit service instead, but says it requires advance notice and isn't always on schedule. So he walks.
Fine with walking or taking a bus, that I'm in control of my schedule and I'm not sitting around and waiting on somebody else.
Some days are more difficult to walk than others. When there's trash collection, Ballman has to dodge garbage cans.
Thursdays is probably the worst day, and noise too. It seems like noise is a big factor that can affect my mobility.
Ballman says the loud garbage trucks prevent him from hearing other vehicles. That's a problem because blind people often determine traffic flow by sound. Other obstacles abound.
They have made the curb cut on this side here so gentle that it's real easy to walk out into the street without even knowing.
And Ballman hasn't even gotten to the most dangerous part of his walk, crossing one of Madison's busiest thoroughfares. East Washington happens to be under construction. Other problems Ballman encounters on his walk are merely annoying, like fallen leaves.
Seems like I have a leaf stuck on my cane.
He doesn't remove the leaf, even though it rustles as he walks. Ballman's travels aren't just limited to his trek from home to work. He went abroad to visit a friend in Dublin, Ireland, where he found a cultural difference in how people respond to the blind.
People there are just almost to the opposite extreme, where they're sometimes too helpful, where they, you know, want to give you assistance sometimes when you don't need it.
The State Department of Transportation does not keep track of how many blind pedestrians are killed or injured each year. The DOT does report about 60 pedestrians total die each year in accidents with motor vehicles. The American Council of the Blind says many of them are visually impaired. The group expects the number of blind pedestrians to increase 50% in the next decade. That's because as America gets older and Americans have more eye problems, they're more likely to walk, just like Ballman does nearly every day.
I like getting out and walking in the morning and just getting a little fresh air and going through the neighborhood. I guess I feel a little more connected to the neighborhood.
Jermaine Mills, Wisconsin Public Radio.